Interesting. What about the patient who has concomitant hepatic disease? You mentioned, you know, fatty livers, but what about actual hepatic disease? How often do you see that, and what types of comorbidities do you see, and how much does it complicate the situation?
Certainly, you do occasionally find a patient who has colorectal metastatic disease, who has concomitant cirrhosis, whether it be from previous hepatitis infection, alcoholic-induced, whatever. In that patient, you know, you may have a solitary metastasis that's in an area that technically is resectable, but again, the presence of that cirrhosis completely changes it. There, you need to leave an even larger volume of liver than you would. And that 20% number I quoted earlier is a patient with normal liver. If you take a cirrhotic, that number probably increases somewhere between 40 and 60% of the liver that you need to leave. So for example, let's say you're going to need to do a formal right hepatectomy and take out 65% of the liver. You may say, I can't safely do that in this patient because they will develop liver failure. In that scenario, you may need to use an ablative technique, radiofrequency ablation, microwave coagulation, something of that nature.
Now, you mentioned the issue of bevacizumab in surgery. And of course, this is an issue in breast cancer, lung cancer, wherever bevacizumab is being used, in terms of the question of delayed wound healing. What's been your observation? I guess most people leave, what, about 6 weeks?
6 weeks, right.
For between Bev and surgery. When you do that, do you run into problems?
We actually presented our data on that at the Society of Surgical Oncology meeting last year, and the answer is no. Waiting 6 weeks, we had no increased complication rate after major liver resections, and we looked at two things, wound healing and liver regeneration. Because again, there's very good experimental data that bevacizumab also impairs hepatic regeneration. So waiting 6 weeks, we had no problem.